Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something really cutting edge. We're exploring how AI and quantum technology, well, how they're changing our whole picture of history and archaeology.
It's a fascinating intersection.
Okay, let's unpack this. The big idea we're diving into is called quantum archaeology, QA for short.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds ambitious, maybe even a bit sci-fi. The idea we could use, you know, massive computing power to reconstruct lost civilizations.
It's definitely part of the vision, yeah. Quantum archaeology, it really sits right at that crossroads. You've got traditional archaeology.
Right, the digging.
The digging, the context. But then you add quantum computing and artificial intelligence into the mix. And our sources show, like, two main streams here. There are the practical tools, things like advanced sensors that are actually being tested now.
Okay.
And then there's the more speculative side, really pushing the boundaries, thinking about retrieving all lost information, even potentially individuals.
Wow. Okay, so our mission for this deep dive is to sort through that. What's working today? What's transforming fieldwork already?
Right.
And then, yeah, tackle those really big, maybe far-off ideas about bringing back the entire past.
It's about showing you the power you get when you combine, you know, digging in the dirt with digging through data.
Exactly, that convergence. Let's start with the quantum bit then.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually when you hear quantum technology, you think, I don't know, giant labs, theoretical physics.
Shielded rooms, yeah. Very complex stuff.
But the sources suggest quantum sensors are actually getting out there in the field.
That's right, building a full quantum computer for archaeology. That's still, well, a ways off. But quantum mechanics itself has already given us some pretty incredible tools for fieldwork. The main breakthrough we're seeing right now in early tests involves something called quantum gravity gradiometers.
Quantum gravity.
Okay.
Gradiometers. Okay, that sounds intense. We know about things like ground-penetrating radar, GPR.
Mm-hmm.
How is this quantum sensor different? And why gravity?
It's all about sensitivity, a huge leap forward. GPR uses electromagnetic pulses, right? And that can be tricky. Different soils, moisture levels, it affects the signal.
Okay.
But these quantum sensors, they measure tiny localized variations in the Earth's gravity field.
Variations in gravity, how does that help find ruins?
Well, anything buried, a wall, a tomb, even just a void, like an old cellar. It has a different density than the soil around it.
Oh, okay.
And that difference in density creates a tiny, tiny change in the local gravity. These sensors are sensitive enough to pick that up.
That's incredible.
It really is. And we have a concrete example. There's a team, University of Birmingham.
Okay.
They actually used one of these quantum sensors successfully to find a hidden, buried tunnel.
Wow. So it works.
It works. And the implication is pretty big. This kind of tech could lead towards, well, a non-invasive way to map what's underground.
Like a Google Maps of the underground.
Yeah.
I think I saw that phrase.
Exactly. That's the potential. Imagine mapping hidden features without digging nearly as much or much faster than GPR surveys.
So if these sensors are finding the structures, does that change the archaeologist's job? Are they just verifying sensor data now?
It definitely changes the initial phase. You know, instead of digging exploratory trenches almost blind,
right,
you become more like a precision engineer. You know exactly where the points of interest are before you break ground.
Mm.
But it also creates a different kind of challenge. You get way more data, which is where the computing side comes back in.
Okay, so more data. And maybe using quantum in the lab, too.
That's the next step people are thinking about. Proposals for, say, quantum scanners. Imagine analyzing really fragile things, old papyrus, bones, pottery, without damaging them at all.
Non-invasively.
Totally non-invasively. These scanners could potentially probe the microscopic structure, the chemical composition, maybe reveal faint inscriptions or details that current methods would just destroy or completely miss.
So all this sensing, finding things, scanning artifacts, it must generate just enormous amounts of data.
Oh, absolutely. Petabytes. Archaeology is definitely becoming a big data field.
Which seems like a perfect job for quantum computers, eventually.
That's the hope. I mean, think about trying to find connections between millions of pottery fragments scattered across continents.
Yeah.
Or analyzing ancient climate data against settlement patterns over thousands of years. Humans can do it, but it takes forever.
Right.
Quantum computing, at least in theory, offers this exponential speed up. If an algorithm could crunch that data, find those patterns almost instantly, it would just revolutionize historical analysis, turn years of work into potentially days.
Okay, so the takeaway here seems to be, Full quantum computing for archaeology is still on the horizon, maybe distant.
Still mostly theoretical for analysis, yes.
But quantum sensors are here. They're real, they're being tested, and they're starting to change how we even find sites in the first place.
Exactly. More precision, less guesswork, less destruction.
That leads perfectly into the AI part. Because if quantum sensing gives us better, richer data, then AI is like the brain that helps us make sense of it all. This is where the digital reconstruction really kicks in, right?
Absolutely. AI acts like, well, like a tireless digital assistant finding patterns and fragments. It's proving incredibly valuable because, let's face it, the historical record is almost never complete.
Right. It's always broken, fragmented.
Exactly. And we're seeing machine learning make strides in three main areas. The first one is fascinating. Lost languages.
Okay. Deciphering languages. But how? I mean, without a Rosetta Stone, without some kind of known key, how can AI possibly crack an unknown ancient language?
It's clever. It doesn't necessarily need a direct key. Instead, the algorithms are trained on how languages generally evolve over time.
How they evolve.
Yeah, the universal rules, sort of, like predictable sound shifts. You know how over centuries a P sound in one language might reliably become a B sound in a related language?
Oh, right, like linguistic forensics?
Kind of. The AI learns to spot these patterns, these probable shifts and relationships between words, even in a language it's never seen before.
Okay, do we have an example of this working?
We do. Researchers at MIT CSAIL, they developed a system like this. They fed it information on the ancient Iberian language, which was largely undeciphered. The system, just by analyzing these evolutionary patterns, it confirmed pretty quickly what human scholars had suspected after years of work, that Iberian likely wasn't related to Basque.
Wow. Just based on pattern-matching linguistic drift.
Exactly. It's like a virtual code breaker for history's lost scripts.
That's amazing for languages, for pure data. But AI is also tackling physical reconstruction.
Yeah.
Like actual broken objects.
It is. That's the second big area. Artifact and site assembly.
Right.
Think about Pompeii. They find thousands of fragments of shattered frescoes, right?
Yeah, like a giant impossible jigsaw puzzle.
Totally. Or smashed pottery. Piecing that together by hand takes experts years, decades sometimes. It's incredibly painstaking.
So AI helps with the puzzle.
Yes. There's an EU project called Repair. They're using AI software combined with robotics. The AI analyzes the 3D shape, the colors, the patterns on thousands of fragments, figures out how they fit together.
It solves the 3D puzzle.
Faster and sometimes more accurately than humans can. Then it actually instructs robotic arms to gently pick up the pieces and assemble them.
Robots assembling ancient Roman frescoes. That's really something.
It is pretty wild to think about.
Does that take away some of the, I don't know, the romance of discovery? Or does it just free up the humans for the bigger picture?
I think most archaeologists would say it frees them up. It tackles the incredibly tedious part, letting researchers focus on interpretation, on context, on meaning.
Okay, that makes sense. Which leads to the third area.
Right. Simulating ancient societies. This is where AI gets really ambitious. Researchers use something called agent-based modeling, or ABM.
Agent-based modeling. Yes. Like creating little virtual people.
Essentially, yes. You create virtual agents, individuals or families or groups in a simulated environment, and you program them with rules based on what we know from archaeology and history. How they find food, how they trade, how they migrate, how they react to, say, climate change or resource scarcity.
So you build a virtual ancient world and run experiments.
Exactly. It's like a computer game based on data. You can run the simulation forward and see what patterns emerge. Does a certain climate shift lead to collapse? Does a new trade route cause cities to grow?
You can test historical what-ifs.
Precisely. Test hypotheses about why societies changed, why they collapsed, why they moved. It helps us understand the dynamics in a way static artifacts alone can't.
And I guess related to that is using AI on field data, too, like LIDAR.
Oh, definitely. Deep learning algorithms are now being applied to process the massive data sets from LIDAR scans.
That's the laser scanning from planes, right?
Yeah.
Sees through jungle canopy.
That's the one. Especially in places like Central America, mapping Maya sites. Humans can analyze LIDAR data, but it's slow. AI can process those huge 3D point clouds much faster, identifying subtle mounds, roads, earthworks, hidden structures that the human eye might miss just because of the sheer scale and density of the forest cover.
So across the board here, AI is like this incredible pattern-matching engine, finding connections, assembling fragments, simulating possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's amplifying what humans can do, recovering information we thought was just gone forever.
It really is acting like a tireless, multi-talented virtual assistant for the past.
Okay, we've covered finding things with quantum sensors, and reconstructing sites and languages with AI. Pretty grounded stuff, relatively speaking.
Tangible results.
But the core of quantum archaeology, the really out there part, asks a much bigger question, doesn't it? Can we retrieve the people?
Yes. This is where we hit the digital resurrection concept.
Digital resurrection.
This is definitely the most provocative, maybe even bordering on transhumanist idea within the QA field. Mm. The proponents, people like the physicist Giulio Prisco, they envision a future, maybe a far future.
Okay.
Where incredibly powerful computers, perhaps time-scanning quantum computers, could somehow retrieve all the information about a specific person from the past.
All the information. You mean like their memories? Their personality, down to the quantum level.
That's the theoretical goal, to capture the complete quantum state of their mind and body at a particular moment.
But is that information even still there? Doesn't information get lost?
So that's the deep physics question it hinges on. If you assume physics is ultimately deterministic and information is never truly destroyed, only transformed.
Then theoretically.
Yeah.
The state of every particle that made up, say, Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
Is still encoded somehow in the current state of the universe?
Theoretically, yes. It's spread out, incredibly diluted and scrambled, but maybe not gone.
Okay. So if you could retrieve that state.
The goal would be to reconstruct that exact state and then, well, upload it into a simulation or maybe even a synthetic body.
Upload Caesar.
Prisco calls it copying to the future, the ultimate archaeological recovery performed by some future superintelligence.
Okay. Mind blown. But what does actual mainstream science say about this? Is retrieving that perfectly scrambled information even remotely feasible?
Mainstream physics is, let's say, highly skeptical. It views this largely as science fiction right now. There are enormous hurdles.
Like what?
The biggest one is probably the no cloning theorem in quantum mechanics. It basically says you can't make a perfect identical copy of an unknown quantum state. The very act of measuring a quantum system to get all its information fundamentally changes or destroys that original state.
So if you tried to perfectly scan past Caesar's quantum state,
you'd inherently alter or erase it in the process. You couldn't get a perfect identical copy out. Maybe an imperfect one, but not a true resurrection.
That seems like a fundamental roadblock.
It's a huge one. And then there's just the sheer scale of entropy. Information might be conserved in principle, but it gets spread out chaotically. Think of trying to reconstruct a letter after you've burned it to ash.
Right.
All the information is technically still there in the heat, the smoke particles, the ash chemistry, but retrieving and reassembling it perfectly, it's considered practically and likely mathematically impossible with any physics we know or foresee.
So probably not happening anytime soon, or maybe ever.
Very unlikely with current understanding, yes.
But even if the tech is pure speculation for now, just thinking about it forces us to ask some big questions, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It pushes the boundaries. What are the ultimate limits of recovering the past? What constitutes memory or identity? If we could recreate someone with high fidelity, what would that even mean?
Yeah, it has philosophical value, even if the physics isn't there yet.
And all this power we're discussing, whether it's AI filling in ancient texts or sensors mapping sacred sites, it absolutely demands we talk about ethics.
Right. With great power
comes great responsibility. Exactly. And the first big issue is authenticity versus bias.
How so?
Well, think about AI reconstructing a damaged artifact or, say, filling in missing words in an ancient document. The AI makes suggestions based on patterns it learned from its training data. But that data might have its own biases, or the AI might just be making an educated guess.
And we might start treating the AI's guess as historical fact.
Precisely. There's a real risk of introducing modern biases or just making things up, essentially, and presenting them as real. We need absolute transparency, clear labels saying this part is physical evidence, this part is an algorithmic reconstruction.
That makes sense. Mm. We've also seen debates around 3D printing replicas of destroyed heritage, like the Palmyra Arch.
Why push anything?
It's been a ownership, doesn't it? Digital colonialism.
That's a huge concern, yes. It really boils down to power dynamics. Imagine a wealthy institution in, say, Europe or North America uses this cutting-edge AI and quantum tech to digitally reconstruct the heritage of a community somewhere else, maybe an indigenous group or a country with fewer resources.
Who owns that digital reconstruction? The institution that made it? Or the community whose history it represents?
Exactly. The emerging consensus, and it's a strong one, is that these projects must be built on collaboration and credit sharing. You can't just digitally extract someone's heritage. The source communities need to be partners, co-owners, credited appropriately. Their history shouldn't become some...
It's about respect and partnership, fundamentally. If you have the power to rebuild a culture digitally, you owe a profound debt to that culture.
Absolutely.
So for you listening, if this fusion of digging and data has got you hooked, what's the path? How do you become a quantum archaeologist or whatever we call them?
Well, there isn't really a single quantum archaeology degree yet. It's so new and interdisciplinary.
Right.
You really need to build expertise in several areas. You absolutely need a strong foundation in archaeology itself, fieldwork methods, understanding context, ethical principles.
The traditional skills are still essential.
Totally. But then you need serious skills in computer science and AI. Algorithms, machine learning, data modeling, maybe computer vision.
Okay.
And at least some literacy in quantum physics, especially if you want to understand the sensors, how they work, and where the future computing hardware might go.
So it's a real mashup of fields.
It is. You might look for specialized master's programs in digital archaeology or computational archaeology. Places like the University of York, Leiden University, they have programs trying to bridge this gap.
They combine the archaeology with GIS, 3D modeling, some coding.
Exactly. They give you that blend. But to really push the theoretical envelope, you might need to combine that with further study in complexity science or advanced AI research. Think places like the Santa Fe Institute.
So the takeaway is you need to be comfortable digging in the dirt and digging through massive data sets.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's inherently collaborative work, bridging those worlds. Hashtag, tag, tag, outro.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. Quantum archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
It's this incredible fusion, isn't it? Ancient questions meeting hypermodern technology.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone from the practical reality finding buried tunnels with quantum sensors right now, all the way to simulating entire societies with AI.
It's definitely pushing the boundaries of what we thought was possible to know about the past. These tools enrich our understanding immensely.
But they also demand wisdom, ethical clarity.
Absolutely. We need to be careful stewards of this power.
So that brings us to our final thought for you, the listener, to maybe chew on. If these advanced technologies continue to develop, if they suggest that, in principle, no information about the past is ever truly lost, just scrambled.
Mm.
Is anything really gone forever?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, do we have the right to retrieve it? Or maybe even an obligation.
A provocative question indeed.
Something to think about. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. I'll see you next time.